Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. More than 100,000 people suffered a stroke in 2025. That's according to the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Canada. About 1 million people are currently living with the effects of a stroke. Kate Zimmerman, Vice President of Integrated Care and Chief Nursing Executive, will talk about a new stroke clinic which recently opened at Northumberland Hills Hospital. It will provide services 3 days a week to help people recovering from a stroke. Until now, most people had to leave Northumberland to receive ongoing care. With the local clinic, it hopes to address these needs closer to home. Take a listen and see if you know someone who might benefit from using this new service. I'm so pleased to have with me today Kate Zimmerman, Vice President of Integrated Care and Chief Nursing Executive for Northumberland Hills Hospital. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you, Rob. It's a pleasure to be here.
I understand Northumberland Hills Hospital has launched a new stroke recovery clinic at the end of February. It is a multidisciplinary rehabilitation service for people 18 years and older, and they have been discharged from the hospital. Why was this necessary?
So this was necessary for a couple of reasons. It really aligns with the hospital's strategic priority of bringing care closer to home. So this is specifically designed for people who have had a stroke within the past year. We don't have a lot of services within the community to offer specifically stroke rehab. So this was important for us. We do have an integrated stroke unit within the hospital. And by being able to offer outpatient stroke recovery or rehab services, this will allow us, you know, to do a couple of things. First of all, it's better for patients because providing that rehab is within their own community instead of having to drive elsewhere for it. But also from a hospital perspective, we can discharge patients earlier and shorten the length of time that they're in the hospital because we know that they're going to be followed up in our outpatient clinic.
There may be some listeners that might get a bit confused because in 2023, the hospital launched the Rose and Bob Avery Integrated Stroke Unit. So does this still exist and how is it the same or different from this new
Yes.
clinic that you're opening?
Yeah, thank you. That's a good point. So the integrated stroke unit is within the hospital. So it is an integrated model, which is best practice in the literature. So what I mean by that is patients who receive their care for the acute portion of their stroke, as well as their rehab portion in one location by one team, have better outcomes. That's what we see in the literature. They do better, their functionality is better. So we put this in place, as you said, in 2023. And that unit is a 6-bed unit. We have, it's regional. So we take patients from other centers. So Campbellford, for example, if they have a patient come into their emergency department with a stroke, they may send that patient over to us for that integrated care. But it is still considered acute care because it's housed within a hospital. So often when people finish their acute care portion of their hospital stay, in this case for stroke care, they still need rehab. And usually you would be discharged from hospital and you would find that rehab perhaps through Ontario Health at Home services, so home care services, or through private rehab facilities in the community. And what we have launched is that outpatient service, but physically located within the hospital. So patients are discharged from our acute unit with follow-up in our outpatient service.
I come in, I'm a patient, I've had a stroke. Walk me through the process, where I would go, what would happen at each stage. Can you do that for us?
So, if you've had a stroke through the emergency department, you would be assessed. You may or may not have what we call clot busting drugs, which are not provided at NHH. So perhaps you would go to Peterborough for those, but you would come back to us if you were one of our patients and you would be cared for by our hospitalist, who is one of our physicians who cares for patients in our integrated stroke unit for your acute portion of your stay. So when the acute, where we're actively assessing your the impacts of your stroke. So for example, what is your mobility like? Is your swallowing affected, et cetera? So once that has been completed, that active acute portion, and there's a plan in place, you would transition to the rehab portion of your length of stay, but you would still stay physically in that acute stroke unit and receive now your rehab portion by our team. So we have a team of interprofessionals, physiotherapists, occupational therapists, speech language dietitians who would all provide you with that care. When you are advancing, because one of the things with rehab is you really need to have rehab goals that are achievable, you have the potential to improve your functionality. When you're at physical functionality, when you're improving with your rehab goals to the point where, it's possible that you can go now back into your community where you came from if you were living independently or with some support, we would look to discharge you, just like you discharge from the hospital for other things. But in this case, we would discharge you now. We could do it earlier than we could before because we can now discharge you directly with follow-up up to 3 times a week in our outpatient stroke recovery unit or clinic, which is located within the hospital. And it is the same team of people that support that clinic as they do in the hospital.
Do you have any idea how many people in the area suffer from strokes?
I do actually. This was part of our analysis when we worked with the Central East Stroke Network. That was we partner with them with Stroke Care with our integrated stroke unit, and we looked at the data, and we were looking at approximately 60 or so patients within Northumberland County who would require community stroke rehab. So that is what guided us in terms of our operations part-time right now of 3 days a week.
Okay, you said stroke rehab, but how many people actually have a stroke? Is there a difference in there, or is it, I just
Yeah,
for the
it
clarity.
is. That's a different number. I don't have that number off the top of my head.
Some people listening might be surprised to hear that you mentioned 18-year-olds as being eligible. That may seem young to some. Do people that are young suffer from strokes?
Yeah, it is. It does happen. It's infrequent, but it does. Yes. We have seen people in their 20s, early 30s.
Let's take a moment and talk about some basics then, just so everyone is on the same page. What is a stroke?
So a stroke is where a portion of the brain goes without blood supply for a variety of different reasons. And a portion of the brain is affected, and almost the brain cells are dying off. And depending where that is in the brain, is the resultant loss of function that may occur. So the sooner you identify a stroke, the better. I did mention earlier, we call them clot busting drugs, but there is a window where if a patient presents to the emergency department with a stroke with a specific window of time, we can provide these drugs because often it is a clot within your vascular system that is blocking blood supply to the brain. So if we can, bust that clot, so to speak, the blood flow is returned to the brain and there's recovery of those cells, and outcomes are much better for our patients.
So you've mentioned one type of stroke, but I know there are different types. I believe there's one that involves a hemorrhage and another one
Yes,
that's mini.
there's ischemic strokes and hemorrhagic strokes. And so a hemorrhagic stroke is when there is basically bleeding within the brain.
And a mini stroke, what's a mini stroke?
A mini stroke, people often refer to them. They do happen. They resolve on their own usually, and the actual medical term for that is it's called a TIA or a transient ischemic stroke. So transient means, as I said, it resolves quickly. Ischemic is it's not hemorrhagic. It's within the brain, and it and that. That is a sign that people need to be worked up for that to find out what's going on if they are having TIAs.
Who are people who are most at risk of a stroke?
So that is a bit of a loaded question. There's many high risk factors, high blood pressure, certainly, people who experience hypertension for whatever reason, whether that is, they are hypertensive due to lifestyle factors or for genetic reasons. People who have some chronic conditions which may affect their blood supply systems within their body. So, things like coronary artery disease, cardiac disease, where your blood vessels may have buildup of plaque within them that reduces the blood supply to parts of your body. Diabetes can also, as a chronic medical condition, can also increase risk.
What are some of the possible treatments that are available to people if they do have a stroke?
So we've talked about, clot busting drugs. That we there are special centers across the province that provide those drugs. So for us, our center is Peterborough, and we would send patients there. There is also another procedure that is done. Again, patients who present with stroke have to meet certain criteria, and they would be also sent to Peterborough for that procedure and then again returned to our integrated stroke unit to receive the rest of their care.
What's the prognosis following a stroke?
Well, that depends on where the stroke is in the brain, how early that it has been detected. Whether or not the patient has received some of these clot busters, for example. But we do know, as I said in the literature, that units that are integrated with stroke care, where it's the same team, same location, providing the acute care and the rehab, do better. Patients have better outcomes from their stroke.
So, how does an individual then qualify for using the new stroke clinic?
So it's a referral process through their physician. So they would be, if they're in hospital, they would be referred through whoever is looking after them in the hospital, would refer them to our clinic for care upon discharge. And we have, as you said in your intro, it's for people within the community who've had a stroke within the last year. So because that rehab potential may still exist. Somebody 2 months ago who's had a stroke prior to us opening this service, within 1 year can also be referred through their family physician or primary care provider.
This is a multidisciplinary clinic. Could you explain what that means?
So you'll hear that word a lot in healthcare, multidisciplinary, interprofessional. Really, what that means is, again, we know that teams that work together from an interprofessional perspective provide better care to our patients. So all that means is you have physicians, nurses, you have physiotherapists, occupational therapists, multidisciplines or multiple professionals who work together. Dietitians, speech language pathologists is very that spe speech language pathologists are very key in terms of stroke patients and assessing somebody's ability to swallow, because that often is affected by a stroke.
The clinic is only open for limited hours. I understand Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Why such limited hours?
So we are, we did receive funding through Ontario Health to provide this care based on the estimates of the number of patients across Northumberland County that would require this care. So based on that number, which as I said, was about 60 patients per year, this is how we determined sort of our operating hours, and we wanted to provide them throughout the week, spaced out over the week.
So how much did it cost to create the clinic?
I don't recall off the top of my head. It was an investment that was made through Ontario Health and the Central East Stroke Nest Network, but it was to provide a variety of things. So we already had the space within our rehab gym. So the dollars are really going towards supporting the staff that's required to provide this care, as well as equipment. We needed to purchase some minor equipment to provide the rehab services.
Is it entirely paid for by the provincial funding, or is it coming directly out of your budget as well?
Well, it is entirely, it's a bit of both because the provincial funding for this clinic that we received to our hospital goes in as base funding. So now this is now part of our base funding to provide this service moving forward.
You referred to it a little bit earlier in our conversation, but I'd like to explore it a little bit further. And that is, how is this different than previous services offered to people who have suffered a stroke?
So there is outpatient stroke rehab services, but they're not within our county. So patients will travel to other places, such as Peterborough, to receive this outpatient rehab care, or they could receive care through Ontario Health at Home, which is home care within their homes. This is different in that it is within the hospital. For patients who have received their care at Northumberland Hills Hospital, there's that continuity of care where they would then be referred to this clinic, same team, same sort of the continuation of their rehab goals within out of the hospital, but transitioning seamlessly to an outpatient setting.
Is there any data or evidence of a difference that it makes when somebody gets treated in their community versus having to go somewhere else or getting home care? I just wondered, does this make a marked difference?
So, not to my knowledge, but there is, I think anecdotally, we've already, like you said, we launched in February and we've already heard feedback from our patients. So, in preparation for this interview, I was sort of looking at what has been the uptake, what are, we've only been running for just about a month or so, and we've already had 12 referrals. So we're already seeing patients within the community who need this care. And one of the patient stories that was shared with me was a son who came to see his dad who'd had a stroke and was receiving care outside of the county and who transitioned to this clinic to receive his care, and the son stated he'd already, within just a few treatments within our clinic, had seen a marked improvement in his dad's functioning. And I think, in general, I think people want to receive care within the community that they reside in, right? That's where all of their community supports are, their family is located. So it is part of our hospital strategic plan to provide care closer to home when we're able to.
Why are there all these new clinics? I mean, you and I have talked before just recently about the newborn clinic. Now we have the stroke clinic. Are these not followed up that should be addressed through a doctor or other health professionals in the community? Or is this some sort of shift? I mean, you're talking about local care, but I'm just wondering to what extent, are we going to see more of these types of services being offered locally?
I think from a provincial perspective, with the budget being announced yesterday, we did see a large portion being committed in terms of dollars from the Ministry of Health to community services. So I think there has been recognition that we need to enhance the supports that we have in the community for people. So, although both of our clinics are physically located within the hospital, it is a community resource and accessible for community members. So, for us, there was a need. We identified the need in both of those examples. And then we worked with our partners to secure funding so that we could open a service to provide this to our community. And, we are 3 days a week for this particular service. But if we see that the need is great, then we will, advocate for more resources to expand services to greater than 3 days a week if we see that that's what's needed.
Do you have plans in the future to open similar types of clinics to enhance local treatment and follow-up?
Not immediately. So we have, we always have ideas of where we could see growth within our community. And actually, the hospital is undergoing a formal master planning process where we look and, it's a little bit daunting because you do try and project 15, 20 years ahead to say what will be the health services that are needed by NHH in the future. And so we're just going through that process right now. We've been working internally with our staff, but also with our community providers. So there's been a lot of community engagement that we've been doing with various community organizations across the county to work with us to determine what might be needed. And of course, the potential of a nuclear power plant is something that we need to consider when we're doing our planning for the future, because that will bring large increases to our population and therefore the catchment that we serve.
Did the hospital do a submission to the assessment process for the new nuclear power plant in Wesleyville?
So the hospital has, I don't know the type of submission, but the hospital has been working with the government and the representatives of OPG to, share our perspective. And I know our president and CEO, Susan Walsh, has been in touch formally to share sort of our lens from a health and infrastructure perspective of what that impact could be to us in terms of our care and the services we need to provide.
For some people listening who might not know, what are some of the typical signs or symptoms someone is having a stroke?
So that's a great question, and thanks for the opportunity. So, slurred speech, weakness on one side, any difficulty in movement, anything with gait difficulty, so walking, an inability to put words together or to speak properly is also a sign.
Besides calling 911 immediately, is there anything people can do right away to minimize any damage?
We always say time is brain cells. So it's really important to, as soon as any of those symptoms come on board, it's really important to identify them as soon as possible and to call 911.
You hear things like taking a low dose aspirin or things like that can also be helpful. Is that something someone should do if they're having a stroke?
So I think people need to speak to their healthcare provider, their physician, because it is so independent. The reason that people recommend aspirin is because it thins your blood. So if your blood is thinner and can travel more easily through your vasculature system, that's a good thing. But again, very individual. It's not a global recommendation.
What can be done to prevent a stroke?
Healthy living, like most things, right? That's, watch what you eat. Make sure you know what your blood pressure is. Maintain positive weight. So, as much as possible, try and maintain a healthy body weight. Exercise regularly. Eat, in moderation from all four food groups, and have regular checkups with your healthcare provider. Your blood pressure is really important to monitor in terms of prevention of a stroke.
So what's next for the stroke clinic? What are we looking at?
Well, as I said, it's early days. We've only been live for 1 month. We have had excellent uptake from our community. So it is to monitor and evaluate the progress. We'll be looking at certain metrics. I mentioned being able to discharge our patients home earlier. That is certainly something we'll be looking at. Again, looking at the numbers of people who require this service, and evaluating patient outcomes related to people's rehab goals.
Kate Zimmerman, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you very much, Rob. It was my pleasure.
That was Kate Zimmerman, Vice President of Integrated Care and Chief Nursing Executive. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.